Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, happy holidays. It's the Holderness Family Podcast.
Hi there. How are you, Kim?
I'm good. I'm Kim Holderness.
Yeah, I'm Ben Holderness. We have reached the end of a very forgettable, nothing to see here year that no one will ever talk about.
I mean, I don't even remember. I mean, it just went by in a blank.
Nothing really happened, right? Nothing of interest this year?
Wow. The way the year started and what was kind of on the vision board, not at all.
Yeah.
For anybody.
So I will say this. First of all, if you're listening to this, you've made it to the end of the year too. Pat yourself on the back. Congratulations. You've made it.
And if you have somebody in your life, like so many people have, if you have an empty seat at the table, our hearts go out to you and we are praying for you and we're thinking of you and we're just wrapping you in love because so many people are not with us this holiday season. This is it's a tough one.
So this is our year-end podcast. You know about year-end productions, right? We did a musical one. We're well known for one. When we do Christmas jammies, that's always like a look back at our year. A lot of people do like a zeitgeist or kind of a look back at what's been going on this year. And for the podcast this year, in true 2020 fashion, we asked someone to do it for us because we're exhausted. And so our good friend and producer, Anne-Marie Tapke, and our podcast producer, Max Trujillo, got together and picked six clips that they think helped kind of exemplify what this podcast and what this year has been all about. Neither of us have heard these, so we'll be reacting with you on it. But I'm interested in this first one that she has here. It says 2020 vision board, and it was recorded in January. What do you think we said in January?
Okay, hold on. I know my goals for this year. Ready? I mean, they were to travel.
Yeah.
They were to connect with friends.
Yep.
I mean, financially, I mean, we were going to be speaking at conferences and stuff. So that's just laughable.
Exactly.
We were going to try to like produce a show. So yeah, I'm interested. I think I burned my 2020 vision board. So let's.
This is interesting. Apparently, I'm looking at the Cliff Notes. Apparently, this is more about how much I hate vision boards.
Oh, which, okay.
So that
great.
Might be it too. So let's listen. Like the whole New York Times thing, we will, like you and I will write down our goals together. We will hold hands in a non-stonewalling way. And I will say, I'm going to do whatever I can to get us there with you. If you let me put a vision board up of how we can relax more, like just chill, like just kind of like let it all ooze off and forget that anything that we just talked about even exists.
Like a beach scene? Like what's on the, what do you mean?
It could be, it's the ability for all of the things that we're talking about and working on because we work together all the time to melt away completely and just be us.
I love that.
I do too.
I love it.
We don't
I want to ooze.
We don't do that. And we talk about it in a negative way. We don't ooze enough. Like we don't, because if we put that board up in order to get there, people who live and work together, it's like a 24/7 thing. Mm. So I think we almost need to make our own vision board of us sitting on a beach and throwing our phones in the ocean or ignoring our children. Like a vision board of me ignoring my dog and children and staring at the sunset.
I am 100% committed to chill. I mean, we are changing up the schedule of this podcast for a little bit just to create more time so you and I can stare at each other.
It seemed like my vision board was to chill out a little bit. And that was that was my, maybe that was my passive aggressive way of saying your vision board's kind of aggressive.
Yeah, we did a lot of oozing. You used the term ooze.
Right. Like that part did come true.
Yeah.
I don't know how much ignoring of the kids we were able to do because they were here all the time.
Do you have, I think more importantly, is what's on the 2021 goal sheet for you this year?
My 2021 is to get out and see people. I think it's funny because that was your 2020, right? I remember like one of the things, I didn't hear it in the podcast, but you wanted to be a little like to get out and travel more. So I think you and I are aligned on that one next year.
Yeah. As soon as it's safe.
Yeah. I'd like our business to go in a different direction that allows us to get out. Like we really wanted, last year was going to be the year that we got out of our attic and got out into people's lives. Like we had just done a successful kind of live podcast and we were going to hit the road and like do some stuff in front of people. That didn't work out at all.
Right.
So I think that'll be a big part of what, I mean, like you said, when it's safe. I just don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, that I have like very low expectations for 2021. Everybody's like, oh, 2021. Like I am proceeding with caution into 2021. I'm tiptoeing. I'm not going to make a lot of noise. It's going to come and I'm just proceeding with caution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go to clip number two. This was during the Black Lives Matter movement. This was, first of all, I want to give my wife a lot of credit for, I always thought that I was a good ally. And I think that I am. And I think that I was. But I learned so much about how much more I had to learn from you and also from this next guest that we had on our podcast.
We can always do better. And there's no, I mean, that's what we've learned, right? There's always, you know, there's always ways to be a better anti-racist.
Yeah, this was just after we had put a post out. It was one of our first posts where we were really practicing being loud anti-racists. And you and I internally talked about it. We talked about it with Jen Hatmaker, just about how do you balance having a strong stance on this with having an audience that isn't necessarily always 100% aligned. And the answer is this is a no duh topic.
Right.
So let's listen to what Donald Thompson and Jackie Ferguson had to say. What is the best way for white people to be good allies? I'm not afraid to put it into
there's
that.
This is good fun and this is good medicine for me.
Good.
Right? Because even in a tough topic, like you guys are amazing. It really comes down to the proximity that you have with people that are different than you. And let me use an example of myself in working with digital accessibility for people that are blind, for example. Mm-hmm. Right? So a friend of mine, low vision, I think is the exact, the right term that we're working on. Right? And so John Samuel is a friend of mine, and he runs a company called LCI Tech. And he lost his vision when he was in school at North Carolina State. John and I have now become friends. Because John is my friend, I now think about issues that he faces differently than what I see on TV, because John's my friend. Mm-hmm. And if somebody hurts or impairs or creates rules that are not helpful to my friend, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so as you expand out becoming a better ally, it's really expanding that friend group. And now being a better ally is not so much about the social justice only. It's about what you do for any of your friend. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think is important. But I'll let you.
Another thing regarding allies, and Kim, you mentioned I'm colorblind. Like that's, you know, people say that like it's a positive. But the issue with that is that you're not seeing me and you're not honoring my experiences.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, you know, being an ally, you're able to do. You're able to do that in how you listen and how you think about your own biases and how you address other people in the moment when they say something that's biased. Well, why do you feel like that? Well, what makes you say that? And being able to ask one, yourself, those questions, and two, other people, those questions, that's what makes you an ally. Because not only are you correcting a person in the moment or yourself, but you're also, if you're doing that in public, other people see that you are an ally, and then it permeates in an entire culture.
You know, so by the way, Jackie Ferguson, Donald Thompson from the diversity movement, and she was referencing a question I asked, is that because there are a lot of people who say, well, this Black Lives Matter movement, it's so offensive because I'm colorblind. I don't see color. And that's what she was referencing, not that I had made that statement. I'll just put that out there. We've tried hard to continue to educate ourselves. I feel like there's so much like frenetic, like crazy news on a daily basis. So sometimes big headlines like that dominated over the summer, there's a tendency with, you know, just all of us to kind of move on. We've been really actively through our reading, through something as basic as like the social media accounts we follow, to the conversations we're having online and with, you know, our friends just about these topics. And I do look forward in 2021, you know, our church, we had hard conversations with our church because, like Donald said, you know, the church is the most segregated part of the week on both sides. Just like, who's invited? What kind of programs are we doing? Okay, we are a bunch of white people, but what are you doing to teach these, you know, how are you educating us? How are we welcoming other communities? What sort of efforts are we making to kind of open the doors and make people feel welcome, or to just partner with other churches? So there's like, there's so much going on, and it's such a long road, but we're committed to it.
And I want to give props to the diversity movement. They are one of these places where I think the rest of the world, the interest in this Black Lives Matter movement obviously peaked over the summer, and it's still there, very much there. But if you look at it in a graph, I'm sure it's kind of making its way back down with other things going on,
right?
But they have been vigilant and consistent, and they were before.
Yeah, oh yeah, this was an existing platform. So, but we have these conversations with our kids on the daily. I'm very proud of the humans they're becoming. So we'll continue to do the work. We are not perfect, and call us out when we screw up. I have to say, we have showed videos that where something was taken out of context, not out of context. It was like we referenced. We took like a week or two off of posting during the George Floyd murder and protests, and we took some time off, and we came back, and I said something like, yeah, we haven't felt like smiling, and somebody called us out, and we had done posts about like why we're not posting, but they're like, you didn't say his name, you didn't say this. I'm like, you're totally right, because they had missed the previous things we were talking about, and I just assumed people, I mean, nobody sees everything, but call us out if you see us making or doing stuff we shouldn't.
And a quick tip, if you do it politely, we're more likely to listen to it. And most people have been very, very polite.
I don't need you to be polite. If I do something that's grossly offensive to your community, you don't owe me politeness.
Let me give you an example of something that I think it's good to be polite. Like, a couple people reached out to me, and this was absolutely bizarre, because when I'm singing a really high note, there's something that happens to my fingers. I put my thumb and my index finger together, because I'm literally, the veins in my head are popping out, and it's how I keep my focus and keep my concentration. And I did it in a video, and someone very politely wrote, like, I know you're not doing this on purpose, but you're making a white power sign with your hand.
It's like the okay. Yeah. It's like what you would do when you were a kid. You'd be like, cool, okay.
Oh, God. And it's what people do when they make, they used to, when you made a three-pointer in the NBA. That was the motion. So anyway, I was inadvertently making a sign that had been adopted by by white power groups. And instead of this person saying, what are you, a bleeping idiot? They were like, oh, there's no way you know about this. And so I really appreciate it.
Well, yes. Okay. So I do appreciate the kindness, of course. But that was something that was quite obvious, like this very inadvertent. And it's so funny because you will, you do revert back when you're hitting that note. And you're not doing like a, it's almost like you're doing like an alligator, like you're making bunny ears almost. So you're not even doing a circle.
No, it looks more like a shadow puppet. But
it
it's
does
still,
look like a shadow, but it is that. And so we'll have to stop. I'm like, Penn, white power, stop. You can't do
well,
that.
Well, I'm doing it to myself now. I'm stopping myself.
Yeah, like, I'm like, stop what you're doing. So, but that person was very kind. And the people who have, but if there is something that is so blatant, I don't need you to be, I don't need it personally. Like you can call me out and I'll.
I still need the respect.
The back to school discussion was a tough one because, and we did all these songs and all these skits and there was all these decisions that had to be made about, do we go back online? Do we go back in person? And we had a really great conversation with our friend and a pediatrician, and she's a life coach too, Dr. Hope Seidel, about these anxieties and especially about this theory and this idea that like, oh, our kids are going to fall behind. Here that is.
I have young kids in my office often who are, who will say, I'm wearing my mask to keep you safe. Oh. And I will say, thank you so much. I'm wearing my mask to keep you safe. Aren't we both so awesome? Mm-hmm. And they love to be filled up with that kind of energy. It's just that easy. Instead of my child can't, you're already pre-deciding that that's not going to be possible. You've already terminated that possibility for your child.
I suck as a homeschool teacher. So just this, like academically, what happens if our kids are start to fall behind?
So it depends on what you mean by falling behind, right? So when you say that, you presume that there's like some academic standard that will eventually define their success as a human being mm-hmm. based on what they get and whatever grade they're in. This is like normal, by the way, like mm-hmm. everybody's having this feeling like we're going to be behind what? And that's my question, like behind what?
Yeah, you're so right, because academically, I mean, we're only judging on things that we're judging on, like these four things that somebody has decided are very, very important. We're going to assign a letter grade to it, where my children may be excel. Like Lola's a brilliant artist and they don't even give grades for that in their school.
That's right. So, and you know what? And the people who you want to be around are people who have empathy mm-hmm. and who are compassionate and are patient and who are resilient and who know they can do hard things and who are willing to be uncomfortable. I mean, these are the kinds of strengths that we really don't teach our kids. I mean, what if just stopping was allowed our kids to have some space to just breathe? What if that was exactly what this generation needed? It's just, that's what I was talking about on my Facebook post. It's just, we've decided that we're missing out on so many things without pausing to notice what the potential is for all of the things we don't even know we're gonna get from this potential gift. It just doesn't feel like a gift because it feels like so much loss.
Okay, so that last sentence has been what's really resonated with me when she said it could feel like a gift, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing that in July and thinking that is a radical statement. Mm-hmm. But I think I have a new opinion about it now with some distance. I think parts of this year have been a gift for our kids. And I apologize to them if they disagree violently, but I've seen maturity and development that I haven't seen in years before. And maybe it's just a coincidence, or maybe it had something to do with the stress and the pressure they've been put under and the opportunity to perform under new sets of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it's no doubt. I mean, they've had some ups and downs. Every kid has. Every relationship has. But I am so, so proud of how they've handled this year. So yeah, there's no doubt that we're all coming out of this year stronger and we're going to figure it out. And I think that's the blessing too, right? Is that we don't know what school is going to look like in the fall, even next fall. We don't know. We don't know what it's going to look like in January. So, but we all just have developed this ability to go with the flow. So, and I've also dropped this like whole falling behind thing. I have to say our kids have handled it really well and they have great, amazing teachers. I made a deal with them that I'm not going to look at their grades as long as I know they're trying their hardest. They've showed me their grades, which they're doing great. I'm very proud of them, but I'm not doing this like standing over them like a hawk thing that I probably did too much beforehand.
Yeah, Dr. Seidel was fantastic. So was Dr. Emily King. We're lucky to have, they're part of kind of our new go-to group whenever we want to talk about kids. mm-hmm. and education. Dr. King, you've heard talk about children in school, children in holidays, children in everything. But we started, I hope that we have this clip in here, because we started talking about her, because she really did embody 2020 with what happened to her before we started this podcast. And obviously we'll talk about other things as well with her. So let's take a listen.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Emily King.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, and Emily, you've done it again. You've put something out there that the world has really responded to. And I want to read this post that really did affect me. And it's not the one that you think. We'll get to the one that really matters in a second. But I'm going to get to this. I'm going to get to this one from last year. From last week. Yeah. 2020, you are something else. I was just trying to walk down the stairs. But every day is an adventure, especially when you've already turned off the lights and you miss a step. Yes, they are both broken. This might be the most ridiculous thing that has ever happened to me. Felt like we should start with that.
Both of your feet are broken?
Yes, they are.
Oh my gosh. Both and of your feet. Both feet are broken.
So, I broke a bone in each of my feet. Not two in one foot, but one in each.
And
I have two boots.
Oh.
Two lovely, very effective Velcro boots.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I was sitting...
Why are we laughing?
I know. Like, I mean, I've already talked to her enough about it.
We can laugh. Yeah. I fully give you permission to laugh. The first 12 hours, there was no laughter.
No.
I was in pain, and I was trying to figure out how in the world do I rearrange my schedule for the things I had committed to for that day after I slipped and fell. And then about 18 hours later, like the next afternoon, I started to think, you know what? I've been doing telehealth from my office or my home for 6 months. I don't need my feet. I started thinking like, okay, so if I had been in my, you know, I do a lot of play therapy with young kids. I'm on the floor up and down all the time in my office pre-COVID. And if I had been jumping from that schedule fully in person with lots of little kids, high energy, to having to sit and talk and only use my voice for however long, that would have been a huge jump. But I just started to think, this is not so much of a learning curve other than the fact that I need some ibuprofen.
and I should also add that you have two school age kids who are also home. So yes.
And the other positive I started to think of was, thank goodness it's the second week of school and not like the week right before where didn't know what I was doing or planning for them. They had about a week. We all as a family had about a week under our belt of routine and childcare versus, you know, schooling situation remotely. We had almost gotten in a groove, and we're, you know, still kind of in a groove with that. But it wasn't so much of a of a shock that I, you know, I don't have to drive my kids to school, right? Mm-hmm. They're here.
Yeah. It's the perfect time for you to break both of the feet.
If I was going to do it.
I love
that. During quarantine and let's think about all the things I can do without my feet.
I love your attitude in this. And I know you probably, if you're a human being, so you have waves of like, of course this happened. Yeah. But I love how you framed this. I'm all about it.
Oh, Dr. King.
Dr. King.
I mean, this was really a good challenge for her. And it segued into her talking a lot about the good things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which when you don't have 2 feet, you have to find a way to look on the bright side.
Bless her. So we usually talk with her about, we typically talk with her because she's a child psychologist, about how our kids are handling it. So I loved her way of framing it. And she really is that kind of a person. And it forced me, you know, many days as I didn't want to get out of bed. I'm like, you know what? I'm healthy. I need to get my butt out of bed. I mean, trust me, enough days I sat underneath those covers. But yeah, I think every single day we have to find that special little joy that keeps us going. Right?
And for us, we had with us the rest of that year, hey, both of our feet aren't broken at the same time. It could be worse.
Oh, sweet Dr. King.
All right. So let's move on. Okay. We answer viewer, what do you call it? Viewer, listener mail? What do we call the mail that we get?
It's so funny. We have a P.O. box, y'all. I just said y'all.
Oh, God.
You know what that means. I'm about to say something ridiculous. We've had it for 2 years. We've never checked it. So people may have sent us actual mail.
Right.
But these are emails that were sent to us.
Yeah, but I don't know what to call it. I cringe to call
questions?
It. It's not fan
no,
questions.
No, viewer,
reader,
listener,
friend.
Listener questions.
We've done several of these.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there are certain questions that pop up just about every time that sometimes we answer in a different way because our life has changed. One of the questions is, how do you guys live together and work together? We've answered that in great extent in a book that's coming out in March called Everybody Fights. So just a Cliff Note spoiler alert is we deal with it by fighting.
Yeah.
And we deal with it by fighting correctly.
Yes.
Another thing we talk about in the book and we get a lot of questions about is what we call mommy daddy time. I don't know what we talked about in this next segment.
I know. I think I may have blacked out.
So let's listen, shall we?
Oh, dear.
Here we go.
TMI, but how often do long-time married couples have sex?
How long?
How long time? That's what it says. How often do long
often.
Time?
Often. Okay. I thought you were asking how long was it?
Oh, God. Bless America.
Or how
often?
Okay. Well,
he's not seen these questions.
I don't want to speak for anybody else, but if I'm not on a 2x a week situation, I'm in a rotten mood, and I am always shooting for hitting the over on that. however, you guys, that comes with work. When you are longtime parents, when you have kids.
We actually have a chapter and a half dedicated this to our upcoming book. But I will tell you that we schedule it. We talk about like, hey, so even today, I was like, okay, we have to pick up the kids at 3. Do you think we can like sneak one in before? Like, seriously, we
and it is not,
that's not really romantic, but it works.
And it ended kind of with like, I'm not sure, but I'm sure as heck going to try.
Yes.
Like that's how that ended.
So,
and usually when it ends like that, it ends well.
It ends well. Yeah. And I think that you have to, for people that are working from home, we have kids at home all the time now. I think that you have to not be super romantic about it. You have to not.
It can still be romantic.
Yeah. But I don't think I there's no expectation of music and rose petals and candles lit. It's like.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. But I enjoy it. And I, yeah. Oh, good talk.
Thoughts. Okay.
That was embarrassing.
Oh,
but,
good.
But no, here, listen, if we do have, we just finished reading our audiobook. Then again, that comes out in March, everybodyfightsbook.com. And there was a chapter and a half dedicated to this topic. And we typed it into a document and we sent it to people who also read it. But then we had to read these very personal things out loud.
And for some reason, it was And much harder.
But because there was a sweet audio engineer on the other side of the glass. Like, right. Even here today, we're like in an attic by ourselves. So I'm like, oh, nobody's going to listen to this. But then sweet Cameron, who we had just met, and we're detailing how we got back on track after a little bit of a dry spell and how we do. I mean, let me tell you, my armpits were sweating. I had to double up on deodorant during our lunch break. I mean, it was like very weird.
Isn't that bizarre, though? Because these podcasts that we've been talking about these intimate things for a long time are viewed by a lot or listened to by a lot more than Cameron.
There's tens of thousands of people who listen to these. But I can't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see when somebody's like listening in their car on their way to work.
So it was Cameron that bothered you.
Well, they didn't bother me, but I'm like, oh my. And then it dawned on me at that time. Yeah. Holy crap. People are going to listen to this. Yeah, so
it was weird for me too. It just is, particularly the writing part, because saying something out loud and reading it, they're two different things.
Right.
When we just have thoughts coming out of our head, they happen and we can apologize for them later. When we take the time to sit and write and think about and edit and then edit again something, and it still comes out as something that's hard for you to say out loud.
Yeah.
That means that it's touchy.
Yeah. So, well,
anyway, no, yeah. I want to also follow something up, because I was listening to the answer to that question, and a lot of that was dealing with frequency, right? Because that was what the question was. How often do you do it? And scheduling, I think, helps with the quantity.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also talked in our book and separately about how scheduling and making sure that like certain things happen helps for the quality as well.
Yes. So there's a whole chapter the chapter's on the quality part. And so that we'll just please, I might dive. I can't.
We won't talk do about it now, right now. But let me just say that improving the quality of that time will also increase
the quantity.
The quantity.
Yes.
And the other thing I'll say is, I heard you say it's not going to all be rose petals and champagne. That may be true, but there's some great moments when you've been with someone for a long time where intimacy comes from places you don't expect.
Correct.
And a lot of times it's just looking someone in the eye and talking to them and listening to them, which wasn't how I got laid in college. It's a new frontier.
Oh, Penholder.
College, I just did the breakdance.
Well, no, you were in a band. So all I had to do was like sing like Jesse's Girl and then girls.
Fish in a barrel. Which, by the way, I want to do this. I don't think that shooting fish in a barrel is an easy thing to do.
I mean, I think I would still miss. I think I'd be terrible at it.
Well, don't you think that the gun, like you'd be shooting, the fish are moving around all the time. The bullet's going to decelerate as soon as it goes into the water, but it also could splash water all over the place.
And the bullet could ricochet?
It could put a hole in the barrel and then all the fish die.
I mean,
there's all kinds of things that could go wrong. You really shouldn't be shooting fish into a barrel.
You wouldn't shoot the fish into a barrel. You would shoot a bullet into a barrel.
That's what I meant. I'm going to try it sometime. That's going to be one of my next videos, and it's going to be awesome.
No, we're not going to shoot fish.
All right. So thanks for
moving
getting through that.
Moving on.
By the way, I'm just going to read Anne-Marie and Max's description of this, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Okay.
Finally, Penn shared all his secrets on how he stays positive and keeps a sunny outlook even when the world around him feels bleak.
Let's hear it.
I wrote this down, How My Brain Stays Positive.
By Penn Holderness, age 10.
Number one, I do not meditate. I probably should, mm-hmm. right?
I meditate.
Yeah. I think in the spirit of meditation, I do one thing. When something good happens, I take a minute and I block out everything else.
Tell me more.
I keep any of the repercussions from bothering me. I stop thinking about whether my back hurts. I stop thinking about any work that I have to do. I stop thinking about any drama that may be happening at school or anything wrong with my kids or my wife or anything. And I just focus on that one good thing.
Give me an example.
Let's start with like something simple. We put this is mainly for us, but like we put a video out and it gets 30 million views. I just stop and I think about the pure positivity of what just happened. And I let it kind of wash over me a little bit.
That's very meditative to take that thought and to focus on that thought and to keep that thought. Conversely, what I like to do is to go into the comment section and see how the troll's attacking us. And then I internalize that for a few days. And then I just like, get really angry at the state of the world and blah, 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 blah.
And I understand that. Like one of us has to keep it real, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe it might be fun mm-hmm. if you tried that.
No, I'm open to try. But that's one of the reasons I meditate, is to kind of calm my anxious mind and to be able to focus on one thing at a time. And no, I like that.
I don't know if that's similar to meditation or if that's just like some sort of hyper focus or whatever it is. So
I think it's a hyper focus on something positive, and it's not like the whole day, and you're not sitting there becoming an egomaniac about it. I think that's important to say. Like, you don't say, "I'm the greatest in the world." It's like, "Wow, that was a cool thing that happened."
Yeah, it could be something small too. I didn't mean to use a ridiculous example of something that like only happens maybe a couple of times a year for us, but so take your mom. Like, you bite into a really good peach. Just sit there with that peach for a second.
Yeah,
even maybe 15-20 seconds.
My mouth is watering.
Good God, that's a good peach.
Yeah.
And let your brain, and at some point your brain is going to get to the point, man, how lucky are we that we have peaches?
And who's the first person that said, like, there's something on that tree?
Yeah, looks kind of like a butt.
I'm going to bite it.
I'm going to try that. We have this giant peach on I-95, if you drive down there, that just looks like someone's butt.
Yeah.
It's like on a giant pole. Wait, where did that go?
It just kind of fade to black.
Wasn't that just kind of symbolic of how sometimes we get a little punch drunk on these podcasts during 2020?
I know. And I have used it. I would say Holderness. Like, if something good happens, and I think in 2019 or before, I would rush past it and say, just kind of blow past anything small like that. But I have tried to find those tiny joys in a day and be like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And really, even how small it is, and try to focus on that, because my brain doesn't want to go there. My brain wants to focus on the clouds and the darkness and the rain and the my brain wants to focus on what we lost this year. And I think I still do that, but I do find those small wins in a day.
Let me tell you something. I was going to say this before you said it, so I want to take dibs on it. You have been better at it this year. I've noticed.
Yeah.
It's not just you saying it. You have gotten better at it the last few weeks even.
Well, I mean, it is, the news is not good for our country right now in terms of how many people we're losing in a day to this pandemic. And it's really, we know people who have died. So it's real. And then, you know, we've lost friends over this, y'all, because...
You mean lost friends over the discussion?
Over the discussion of, and then seeing how people handle it versus how we handle it. I mean, and it's so upsetting. But yeah, so I will focus. I will try the peach analogy. You know, I mean, and let's be really honest. Like, every single day, we are reminded of how hard people have it, because, and we haven't talked about this, and she said she'd be willing to come on the podcast and talk with us about it, but our friend Julie lost her job in April, and she's been on this podcast before. We interviewed her about like being single, and she's like our single, fun New York City friend, and she lost her job in April. She was from New York, and then she moved in with us in July. So she's been living with us since July. So every single day, we have this reminder of how hard it is to find a job right now, guys.
Yeah.
How like unemployment does not go very far. So it's a beautiful thing that our family is getting to experience, like having this extra family member for this part of the year. And this part of life has been a really cool thing. And I think our family will remember it very fondly, but it's really tough to see so many people struggling, including, you know, somebody who's living with us right now, who every single day is in the front of the computer trying to find a job that doesn't exist. So it's, so she made some chocolate chip cookies, and I've had about 12 of them. So I just took a bite. I'm like, wow, we're lucky to have chocolate chip cookies right now. They're pretty amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the brain of Kim Dean Holderness in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I complimented her on being positive, and then she took a detour through
my darkness.
Through her darkness. Excuse me. But I'm just going to say, like, I've noticed, and I'll say it again, and you can just say thank you, or you can appreciate it. You have been really milking those positive moments and stopping just a minute to smell the roses and appreciate them more than you ever have done before. And I think that's, I don't know that that's going to make you a fundamentally happier person, but it's one of those things, like, I've been working harder on listening and staying clean because they don't come to me naturally. Mm-hmm. This is something that doesn't come to you naturally. Mm-hmm. But if you keep practicing it,
It'll never be easy for me.
No, I don't. Yeah. And neither will those things I just described be easy for me. But if you keep at it, I think that you're going to be able to look at the world at least sometimes and say, man, what a wonderful world. Mm-hmm. As Louis Armstrong said, we couldn't walk on the moon. Now he's up there laughing at us.
What is that? What movie is that from?
Blades of Glory. Oh, we watch it every winter after Christmas.
Oh my, that we do Harry Potter and then we go straight to Blades of Glory.
We have a movie, like we have an annual movie thing.
And sweet Julie's like, hey, can we watch this movie? And I'm like, Christmas Story? I'm sorry. No, we do that on Christmas Day.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. What's wrong with
you? Can we watch this? No, that's a January
movie. That is for January only.
Yeah. And then like the deep, dark depression of February, like it's not over yet. Then we have some funny winter movies as well.
So we have a schedule that we keep. Yeah.
Well, high five to you from across the room for a 2020 that no one expected, but that we got through.
Yeah.
And for those of you listening, happy holidays, however you celebrate. Please stay safe. Please know that we love you and are so grateful for you. Like the fact that you are listening to this podcast and you have watched our videos has gotten us through 2020 as a business. So we're grateful for you.
Yeah, that is definitely a bright side that there's this weird little corner of the internet, this community where I recognize people's names in the comment section and they share stories and we get to have this community. I feel very, very lucky.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thank you to Anne-Marie and Max who are going to put this together and for putting this together for us ahead of time so we could be lazy and just come upstairs and do it for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I have to say, we got some cool people. So thank you to Anne-Marie Tapke and Max Trujillo and Sam Allen and Desmond Wilson and who else? Oh, Mac.
Elijah Nasita.
Yeah, he shoots some of our videos.
Jessica Meyer.
Yeah, she makes sure that we have money in our bank account. Because sometimes it's like, what?
Yeah. Hashtag 2020.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We love you guys. Happy 2020, and we'll see you in 2021. Wow, that was the best outro ever. That's what 20. We're going to, from now on, call it 2021. Bye.